Can you believe all the junk that's going on? How America's being destroyed? And it seems like, I said to Brother Chris last night, don't we have a say-so in this? And I said, the only thing we can do is pray. But we need to be praying. Because if you don't know what's going on up there in that little White House, you need to be praying, because it's not good in any way, shape, or form. God told me about 20 years ago he was going to go to war with Russia and China. And you see what's going on. All that stuff's lining up. And we need to be praying. And we need to be about the Father's business. But remember, he said he would keep us when all this devastation started happening. And I'm not speaking anything negative. I'm just telling you the truth. You need to get your head out of the sand. And you need to understand that we are in a true war. The devil's trying to destroy us. And we have to know what we're supposed to be doing right now. I'm so sick and tired of the body of Christ fighting among themselves, aren't you? You know, we can't win a battle for it. We're not unified. And I've never seen such nitpicking in all my life. I don't know what God's thinking up there, but I know he's stomping his foot every now and then. That's why we have our snowstorms. He's saying, get it together. All right. God told us 2 years ago, first of all, he told me I was going through a Job experience, and I think 2 months later he told me the body of Christ was going through a Job experience. Somebody got a prophetic word on the 16th of January. The whole thing's in the bulletin, but don't look there. You can look when you get home. And God told her that an era of restoration like that of Job's was taking place right now. Now, I just want to do the bad part, okay? The good part's in the bulletin. All right. God said, you are entering the time that Job entered. All right? So we're already in the time that Job entered into. And what was Job doing? He was in a mess, wasn't he? Lost his kids, his animals, his house, his health. He lost everything. Then some of it goes, after many months of suffering, then if you read it, whenever you go home, it said that Job was blessed. All right? Now, that is what they call a dark season. I went through this 20 years ago, and I taught on this because I was going through it. And the other day, God said to me, he said, daughter, this Job experience is a dark night of the soul for my body. So I thought I would teach on this morning and see if it wouldn't help us, you know, get some light, shed some light on what's going on in our life. All right, a dark night season is a time of darkness before daybreak, a time before a breakthrough, a time of wailing and crying. It is a time of disappointment, frustration, and depression. It is a time one does not clearly hear the voice of God and therefore does not know what to do. It is a time one is not sure of the next step to make. How many of you, I'm there. I've been there, all right? Now, a dark night season is a time you feel like quitting or giving up. It is a time when one questions the reality of the promises and presence of God in one's life. It is a time when one questions a call of God or the will of God. It is a time of pressure both from within and from without. It is a time of anxiety, fears, frustrations, anger, and bitterness. In some cases, it is a state of hopelessness and confusion. If you haven't gone through all those, I have. And, you know, it's been rough. It's really been rough. And you had to really keep your eyes upon God in order to keep going. All right, you guys, if you're going through it, or, you know, if you have gone or you're still going, you know, because it still isn't over yet, then you need to get this down in your spirit, because you need to give other people hope. You need to explain to other people what they're going through. And just like Job, it is going to end. And it's going to end in a great and fantastic way. But we have to go through this. All right? You may be going through a dark night season right now. And I want to assure you that every dark night season, including yours, can be handled and victory is sure for you. You have to know. See, if you know what you're going through, like God said to me, daughter, you're going through a dark night. Okay, so I know what a dark night is, and so now I know what I'm doing. But if you don't know what you're doing, you're just going to fumble around out there like a lost person, and you're not going to be able to help yourself, and you're not going to be able to help others. All right, Psalm 30, verse 5 says, His anger, you know, God's anger lasts for a little while, but then His kindness brings life. The night may be filled with tears, but in the morning we can sing for joy. And in Psalm 30, 11, 12 says, You have changed my sorrow into dancing. You have taken away my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. You wanted me to praise you and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. God wants us to praise him in this night season. And he's been telling us that all along. We need to learn to praise him. That's why I had a fast song service this morning. We just need to rejoice. We need to be stomping on the devil's head, not sitting there saying, oh, sweet by and by. You know, sweet by and by isn't getting it right now. We need to be at war. We need to be letting the enemy know without a shadow of a doubt that he has not won this battle, and he's not going to win the next one either. All right, we have to have hope. Every dark night season must pass. Therefore, it can be handled. Don't despair. Have hope. After every dark night comes day. He that created the dark night also created the day. Your daylight must come in, and it will not fail. I've told you before, I've said that God said, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, daughter. I said, where is the light? I don't see it. Where is the end of this tunnel? It just goes on. Now, maybe it just goes on and on and on and on. And God keeps saying, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. All right. Every dark night season has a terminal date and time. God knows that when it's going to start, and he knows when it's going to end. Don't despair. Have hope. All you need to do is to learn how to handle dark night seasons. It comes once in a while. Even a whole list of men like Paul, their parcel had night seasons. See, we need to get into the Word and see how God's disciples suffered. And they had their night seasons. For Paul spent most of his time in prison. He had a long night season over and over again. Elijah had dark night seasons and wanted to die. I just wanted to die a month ago. You know, come on, let's be honest. You know, these thoughts, we're human. I hope you're human. And you're not God. And these thoughts go through your head. You know, everybody says, oh, you shouldn't think like that. Well, I'm sorry I did. All right. You know, like, all right, with this sickness, you know, it's this virus has attacked the muscles in my body. So it attacked my leg. My leg got there, and I was so happy then. And I got that diarrhea spell from week. It attacked the muscles there. And then I think, thank God, that's over. And so the next day, it attacked the muscle in my arm. Now I can't hardly use my arm. And last night, it tried to attack this arm. And I really went into warfare. You're not going to have that arm. Amen. I need at least one arm, right? But, you know, this is one dark season after another. You understand this. And we can't give up. We have to just keep right on going. I told Teresa this morning, I feel like I'm just going to call Chris and say, I'm not coming today. But I'm the pastor. I had to come, right? I mean, because, you know, you're hurting. You feel sick. You know, you just, it's everything you can do to keep going. But we have to keep going. If you don't keep going, if I don't keep going, how are we going to convince somebody else it's worth going for? You understand that? They're watching you. They're watching me. All right, John the Baptist had dark night seasons. In one of those dark night seasons, he began to doubt that Jesus was the Christ. I'm going to be honest with you. I was really super sick with the virus. I was wondering, is there a Christ? I did. I really went through that for a short day or two. You know, and it was a mess. In one of those dark seasons, he began to doubt that Jesus was the Christ. He had to send his disciples to confirm if he was the Christ. And you can find it in Matthew 11, 2 and Luke 7 through 18, 19. You know, John the Baptist knew who Jesus was. But when he was sitting in that dark prison cell, getting ready to get his head cut off, he was wondering, is what I have been doing right? Is Jesus really the Messiah? Come on, those thoughts went through his head. And Jesus sent back word to reassure him he was. And then when those dumb thoughts start going through your head, Jesus will come to you and say, I am. You know, he will let you know that he is with you, that he is real. And he keeps saying, hang on. Hang on. So Some of us, our thread gets really thin, doesn't it, as we hang on. All right, how to deal with dark night seasons. We are going to use the experience of Paul to deal with the issue of dark night seasons. Dark night season number one was Troas, T-R-O-A-S, in Acts 16, 6 through 18. Paul was tired and exhausted and probably sick and looking for a doctor. And Luke was the doctor, a doctor, right? Number two, Paul was frustrated for certain by the closed doors. He had no doors open for his ministry. You can imagine how he felt trying to move ahead with his work in his condition, but unable to do so. Paul possibly was confused about what next to do as far as his calling is concerned because of the closed doors. Characteristics of this dark night season in Paul's case here is, number one, not clearly hearing the voice of God. Number two, not sure of the next step to take. Number three, frustration. Number four, felt like quitting. Number five, questioned the call of God. I went through all those in this night season we're going through. And so I'm just encouraging you, there's nothing wrong with you. You just don't understand what's going on. And with Paul, when doors weren't open for him to minister, you think, all right, just like here. All right, God, you said you're going to fill up this room. You told me this 15, 20 years ago. And then you're going to thrust me into a new building. Well, it fills up and it empties out. Fills up and empties out. Fills up. Come on, God. This seesaw now thing is really tearing me out. But God is God. He's going to do what he said he's going to do in his timing. And I can't change him. He tells me over and over again, you are not going to change me. He's trying to change me. Right? All right, how did Paul handle it? How we handle dark night seasons determine the long-term effectiveness of our witness. Paul waited at Troas. He didn't leave. He waited there. He could have quit and gone back to Antioch. He could have gotten angry with God because of the closed doors. Waiting is a test of our obedience and ability to listen for God's voice. I get tired of waiting. I'm being honest. I really am. But God is still God, and he's my father, and I'm his daughter. He loves me abundantly, and he knows exactly when to open that door. And he also knows exactly how long to keep the door closed. There's so much going through your head of things, you just can't understand why all of a sudden all these things are there. Well, I'll just say right now, it's because God's trying to get, I have three teachings on this, but this isn't in here tonight, but I'm going to throw it out there at you. The reason why you're going through all those is because God's trying to get everything out of you that's ugly. He's trying to get things that's in you don't know it's there. Because the other day I said, why am I thinking of that? I thought I had that thrown into some sea of forgetfulness, but it wasn't. It was pushed down, and God had to get it out. So if things like that are going on in your life, it's God. He's getting all that junk out of you. Because I'm going to tell you right now, guys, what God is sending you in to do, you're going to have to be a true warrior. And there can't be anything in you that the enemy can pull up and just stop your ministry. All right, his victory. The Lord spoke to Paul through a vision of a man in this dark night season. In Acts 16, 9 and 10 said, that night Paul saw a vision. In it, a man from Macedonia came to Paul. The man stood there and begged, come across to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we immediately prepared to leave for Macedonia. We understood that God had called us to tell the good news to those people. See, Paul waited in Troas, and then God gave them the vision and to let him know you're still in the ministry. So wherever God has you, you just be still, and God is going to come to you. And in this Job experience we've been going through, I have had more visitations from God than I have in the 40 years that I've served him. And he's given me so much revelation knowledge. And I could say, I wouldn't be honest, but I could say, I'm so glad I was sick. But I can't say that because I wasn't happy that God had me there. But I am glad with all the revelation I received while I was there. All right. I'm just going to be honest with you. Now, During this time, God revealed his plan and purpose. He said, go to Macedonia. Paul's vision and vigor was renewed. Paul immediately packed and went to Macedonia. God knows when he has to renew our strength. He knows when he's pressured us enough. And he knows when we're ready to give in, cave in, whatever you want to say. And then he'll come to you with that sweet, wonderful voice he has, not saying, be still, but now you can go. You're in that pressure cooker, and you came out, you survived. Now you're ready to go. All right, dark night season number two is Corinth. I looked up tent makers. Tent makers are Christian workers, usually missionaries, who work full-time to support themselves rather than draw support or a salary from a church or mission organization. A lot of people said he made tents, but really what I found when I looked this up was that this other couple were missionaries and they were working in his church, and Paul decided to stay there and help them do missionary work. So that's what it said. You can look it up yourself and you can find out what it says to you, all right? All right, Acts 18, 2 and 3. Paul went to visit Aquila and Priscilla. They were tent makers, the same as Paul, so he stayed with them and worked with them. Number one, Paul arrived at Corinth alone and broke. He had to get a secular job to survive. How many pastors you hear out there begging and pleading and carrying on, send me money, send me money, send me money? Paul didn't do that. Paul said, okay, so I'm broke and I need to support myself, so I'm going to stay here and be a missionary with these people. Number two, to really understand Paul's thinking at this time, we must appeal to his later letters to the Corinthian church. In 1 Corinthians 2, 3 says, Paul says, when I came to you, I was weak and shook with fear. You wouldn't hear no pastor say that today. But Paul said, when I came to you, I was weak and shook with fear. I mean, you'll hear me say that because, you know, I do that kind of stuff. But 2 Corinthians 7, 5 and 6 is, when we came to Macedonia, we had no rest. We found trouble all around us. We had fighting on the outside and fear on the inside. See that? He didn't go there all hyped up with you know, God's doing miracles. He told the truth. The body of Christ needs to start telling the truth, you know, if you're a leader, because then the people sitting out there in the pew can see they're human too. And if they can come through it, I can come through it. Right? But God encourages those who are troubled, and he certainly encouraged us by bringing Titus to us. What did Paul say? God encourages those who are troubled. So guys, if you're troubled, don't get excited about it, because God is going to come and encourage you. He might send somebody your way. You might hear a song, you know. It could come in any See, that's it. God sends things to us in ways that we don't understand. We think God's going to do it this way, but God does it that way. Are you understand that? And so we miss God so many times. Body of Christ, you know, I was thinking the other day that God said that he told us years ago that church was not going to be as usual. And so, you know, really, we need to quit trying to still be in the mold of the old. And we need to just be open and pliable to God and allow God to use us any way he desires. I don't care where you're at. I don't care if you're at home. I don't care if you're in a grocery store. I don't care if you're at work. I don't care if you're in church. Let God use you the way he desires and quit trying to stay in the mold. I don't know about you, but God keeps telling me, don't want what you used to have. And what I used to have was really good. He said, because what I'm getting ready to give you is so much better. And so through the Job experience, when I come out of this, I'm going to have some great things waiting for me. See? Come on. And that's why each one, you have to believe that or you're not going to survive. I just don't say these things. I really don't. And I'm very honest and open with my feelings at home, in church, wherever I'm at. I don't want to live a lie. I want to live the truth, and the truth always sets me and others free. You know, here you're sick, you're working your insides out, and you tell everybody, I'm happy, happy, happy. Oh, shut up. You are not. You know? All right, so you're sick. Paul was sick. He was tired. He was broke. We just don't need to be honest. All right, so, you know, I have infirmities, but God said I'm healed. And, you know, this is what you should be saying. You know, God told me, daughter, you're going to get very, very sick. You're going to have so much pain, you could become a drug addict. And he said, but I want you to know that you are healed, and I'm going to return your youth. So no matter, God already told me what was going to happen to my body, right? And you can't pray it away. You just can't. I tried. You know, and I had fun to be like Jesus. Father, your will be done. I'm just going to quit this mess. Your will be done. However long you want me to go through this, you're going to put me through it. I'm going to let you. And when you're finished, you'll finish. Are you understanding this? And if, you know, the world out there needs truth. They're already living a lie. And if you don't have the truth, how are they going to be set free? If you can't walk up to them, you know, and say, you know, hey, man, I was in your shoes too at one time. In fact, I was worse than you are. But this is what God did. Then you start giving your testimony. And people will look at you and say, well, if God can do that for you, he can sure do that for me. We need to quit pretending we're something we're not. Come on. You know, I always said, you know, I was so dumb when I started, when God first called me, that I just did whatever he told me to do. And whatever I read, I believed and I did it. And, you know, signs, wonders, and miracles were following. But God said to me the other day, daughter, I called you because of the way you do think. I called you because I know you're not going to get, you wouldn't get up there and try to be something you're not. You know, because you hear really a lot of preachers are good preachers. You know, then you sit up there and you say, oh, well, here I am doing my little thing here. And look at these people over here, you know, and they're doing this and the other. You quit that. You are you. You be you. All right? Is it Marianne? Yeah. When I first met Marianne, she was very quiet and meek, you know. And then there's Neil, you know. He's Neil. He's robust. And I thought, I don't see how these two are ever going to make it. But I look at them now, and they're happy. And, you know, when I watch your little videos he sends out about their gardens and stuff, I said, look, she does the same thing he does. She became him. He either pulled her out of her shell, or she thought, I have to get out of my shell, or you know, and go along with the show, or I'm lost. I don't know if that's what happened, but she's not what she used to be when I first met her, is what I'm trying to say. She let God use her the way she was, and he molded her into his image the way he wanted to use her. And he wants to do that to each one of us. Hey, come on, you're not the only one that had a bad break in life. You're not the only one that has marriage problems. But you have to forget that stuff and get over it and move on. You can have somebody you just want to vent to, but vent and go on. Poor Teresa. I think she'd rather be in. She walks into my room and I start venting. She says, I can see her say, oh, God. I wished I wouldn't have come in here. It's all over her face, but I keep on venting. I'd rather vent to her than somebody come here and vent to you. I've lost my place. All right, let's get back to my little script here. Paul's fears and concern. How can I proclaim a supernatural gospel in the midst of black and crisis? How can I preach the provision of God while having to work a side job? This is what Paul. How can I proclaim being an overcomer when I was always being run out of town? What will others say? How can these things be if I'm in obedience to God's calling? Let's read them again. How can I proclaim a supernatural gospel in the midst of black and crisis? How can I preach the provision of God while having to work a side job? How can I proclaim being an overcomer when I was always being run out of town? What will others say? You know, people say these things about you. Do you know that? They say these things about me. They say she's so dumb she doesn't know when to quit. That's true. I just trust God and go on. How about you? Are you too dumb to quit? Come on. Come on. How can these things be if I'm in obedience to God's calling? Paul saying, why is all this happening to me when I'm in obedience to what God's calling me to do? I know every one of you in here have thought that at some point in your walk with God. If you haven't, you will. All right? This comes along with the dark night of the soul. All right, number three. It is implied that Paul's inner fears may have caused him to stop preaching the gospel. His confidence in his calling may have been shaken. If your confidence in your calling has not been shaken, it will. Because God's going to shake everything that can be shaken. And when he's through shaking us, we're going to be his perfect warriors that he can work through. All right, number four, characteristics of this dark night season. They are fear, lack, opposition, loneliness. Fear, lack, opposition, and loneliness. All four of them are there when you're going through your dark night. Come on. Number five, Paul's victory. The Lord spoke to Paul in a vision in this dark night season in Acts 18, 9, and 10. During the night, Paul had a vision. The Lord said to him, "Don't be afraid and don't stop talking to people. I am with you and no one will be able to hurt you. Many of my people are in this city." See that? He told Paul, don't stop talking. Just keep walking. Just keep doing what I'm calling you for, telling you to do. Now, then God goes on to say, "I have many people in this city. You may not be able to see them yet, but they are here. They may call themselves Hindus, Buddhists, atheists, that I have gone before you preparing the way. They are mine." God is putting all these different people in before you, and are you shunning them or are you working with them? Come on. "I only want Christians." Well, I'm sorry, that doesn't work, because Jesus came to save the lost, not the Christians. He came to save the down and outer, right? And he didn't say, "Are you black, or are you white, or are you Buddhist, or are you this?" No, he didn't do that. He just spoke the gospel to everybody, and souls were saved. All right, number six, God's word is one of a reassurance. Do what you can with what you have. And trust me, for I have many in this city. This is still Acts 18. In verse 7, this word from God enabled Paul to write to the Corinthians and the Ephesians later. God will come in your night season. Believe me, he will, because I've had plenty of them. And he will reassure you that all is well. And he will tell you, keep walking, don't sit down. And when you're doing your little pity party thing and boohooing and carrying on, he'll say, "Daughter, son, why are you doing this?" This is what he does to me. "Why are you doing this? I have not closed any door." And he says, "I told you that I have opened a door, and a door I open no man can close. So why are you fussing?" Then you have to sort of agree that he's right and you're wrong, you know. You had to blow your snotty nose and wipe your eyes and say, "I'm sorry." A lot of repentance you got to do sometimes when you get stupid and start bawling and squalling before God. I'm so glad Jesus didn't do that. I really am. I'm so glad Jesus went ahead and ran to the Father and prayed. And I'm so glad he carried his cross. I'm glad he wasn't me. Come on. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. One time God asked me to do something. And so I said, "Well, okay." After talking to him, I said, "Okay, I'll do that." And it was a mess. I said, "God, why didn't you tell me I was going to have to go through this?" He said, "Because you wouldn't have done it." He said, "I know you. You wouldn't have done it." He said, "But I'm with you in this mess." And he was. How many of you, God's called you to do something, you got into it, and it's been a mess, and you say, "God, I heard you wrong, or that prophet was a false prophet." No, it was God. He just didn't want to tell you because you would have run in a different direction. But he needed you to do that job that needed to be done. All right? 1 Corinthians 2, 4, "My teaching and my speaking were not with wise words." This is Paul speaking. "We're not with wise words that persuade people." I'm so glad I saw this scripture. Aren't you? I mean, glad that you saw it, not me. "But the proof of my teaching was the power that the Spirit gives." In other words, you don't have to be an eloquent teacher or speaker. All you have to be is full of the Holy Spirit. And right before you get up to speak, say, "Holy Spirit, I just emptied myself out totally and completely. This is your vessel that you can work through." And then let him work through you. God is good. It doesn't bother me who walks through the doors. When I was out evangelizing, it was always packed full of preachers, and I really didn't care. You know, it was God speaking, not me. We went to that church over Maryland, I think it was, and I got up there and I said, you know, there's so many people call themselves bishop. And I asked God about it, and God said they're self-appointed bishops. And I forgot what else I said, but half the people left the church. Most of them are bishops. Yeah, you know, the preachers came to hear what I had to say. They didn't. I heard they talked about me later, but that's okay. All right, so first we read 1 Corinthians 2 and 4. Then if you read Ephesians 6, 13 through 14 at home, that goes along with 1 Corinthians 2. All right, dark night season number 3 for Paul was Jerusalem. In Acts 21, 18 through 23, Paul was warned, arrested, bound, and nearly torn apart by a mob. Now, the characteristics of this dark night season was hopelessness and despair. God told him to go there. And see what happened to him? He was warned, arrested, bound, and nearly torn apart by a mob. Now, the characteristics, things he went through, was he went into hopelessness and despair. So why do we get upset when we go into those emotions? If the disciples can do it, we can't, you know, God's not going to chop our heads off if we do it. Now, I'm not saying to deliberately go there, but, you know, when you're in a dark night, I'm going to tell you, if you haven't been in a dark night, a really dark night, then I hope you never go there. But when you're in a dark night, all kind of thoughts go through your head. Number 3, Paul found himself away from his original calling and his purpose of preaching to the Gentiles with no apparent way to get back to it. Paul didn't know what to do. There's times I don't know what to do. There's times you'll not know what to do. But that's okay. Because in your dark season, you do not understand what God's doing at all. You're just going to 7 days just get up and sit in a chair. You know, and not moving, not doing nothing, because you don't know what to do next. You don't understand why you're going through what you're going through. Number 4, the Lord himself spoke to Paul in this dark night season in Acts 23:11. The next night, the Lord Jesus came and stood by Paul. He said, "Be brave. You have told people in Jerusalem about me. You must do the same in Rome." So he knew he was going to live through Jerusalem. And now he's headed to Rome. See, God encouraged him. He was going through a bad time, but God comes, "You're going to go to Rome, so just get over this and so we can move on." All right? All right, the dark night season number 4 was when Paul was at sea, and that's in Acts 27, 1 through 22. He was on board a ship bound for Rome, and he was a prisoner. Caught for 14 days in a hurricane-type storm. Perhaps most grievous circumstance faced by Paul. You and the ship experience. How many of you sometimes you think nothing can get any worse? Then here comes God. I got something else for you. You know, come on. You know, sort of enjoy the circumstance you're in because the next one could be a whole lot worse. All right, characteristics of this dark night season. When he was on the ship, he had helplessness and fear of death. That was the characteristics of that dark night. Acts 27:20. For many days we could not see the sun or the stars. The storm was very bad. We lost all hope of staying alive. We thought we would die. How many of you, if you're in a dark season right now, you thought you would die? But God. I said this morning, I said, Teresa, you know, I think I'd rather be dead than to go through this mess right now. I'm being honest, you know. That's where I was at. You know, you're racked with pain. You're trying to get dressed and everything hurts. It goes on and on and on. And God warned us that we were going to be fighting the enemy and he was not going to be nice with his battle. And I don't think a lot of people listened. And now they're in the dark night seasons. You know, God said that the church is going to go through a Job experience. Job lost absolutely everything he had. And how many of you are clinging on to your last little thread of something that you own? Because everything else, you can just watch everything else being taken away from you. All right. You know, I would, well, we'll just go on. Job went through his mess. All right, the fifth, Paul's response about being on the ship. Paul prayed for the Lord to the Lord God, not for his own salvation. He knew his destiny. See, the problem is we get in a dark night. We don't know our destiny. And we get all in a twit. But Paul, he prayed for to the Lord God, not for his own salvation. He knew his destiny. He prayed for others who did not know their destiny. So how did Job get out of his situation? He prayed for other people. So when you're in a mess, instead you always sit and say, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. Just start thinking of somebody that needs your prayer and start praying for them. Forget about yourself. All right, the Lord spoke to Paul by an angelic visitation in this dark night season in Acts 27:23. Last night, an angel came to me from God, the God I worship and belong to. You know, he was saying it was actually God. It wasn't the devil. The angel said, Paul, don't be afraid. What does God say to us? Get out of fear. You must stand before Caesar. And God has given you this promise. He will save the lives of all those sailing with you. See how he encouraged Paul? But now, if Paul wasn't rooted and grounded in Christ, he would have said, is that you, God? How many people say that? Is that you, God? All right. The Lord whose I am and whom I serve, Paul said. The Lord has given me the souls of those whom I sit with whom I sail. Intercession for others in time of need. Paul prayed selfless prayer in the time of lack. I don't see too many people in the body of Christ doing that. I need prayer, I need prayer, I need prayer, I need prayer. Woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. And please ask for prayer. But what I'm saying is just some people can't get outside of their self. And I know prayers have been going up for me all over the place. And some people say, I don't understand why you're not healed. God says I'm healed, and in his timing, he's going to manifest that healing. Well, so you're saying, why aren't you healed? And I'm saying, God, how long? So we're all asking God a question. But I know it's in God's timing. And I know that, you know, the devil can't kill me. He gave me that promise from day one. He can do anything he wants you to do but kill me. Every one of you need to understand that. When God gives the enemy permission to take you and to sift you, he can do anything but kill you. And sometimes you say, I'd just soon be dead. You know, but we don't really mean that. But, you know, we get dumb at times. And so we just have to trust God that he won't let the enemy kill you. And look at the testimony you'll have whenever the enemy's through with you. And he's walked away from you because he's done everything but kill you. You've won the victory. And you're an overcomer. And now your testimony has roots to it. Amen? I've lost my place here. All right, the conclusion. From this study we have just had on Paul's dark night seasons, we can draw the following conclusions and lessons that can help us handle dark night seasons when they do come. Number one, whatever God puts in your heart to do, he is personally committed to its success, so don't despair. Number two, keep doing what you are doing until you hear from God. Don't be idle for any minute. Just don't sit in a corner and wait for God to speak. Be about what our bulletin is, be about the Father's business. And we need to be out there working for God. Number three, don't give up. Wait patiently for instruction, direction, or a word to take you out of your dark night season into daylight. Number four, be vigilant, alert, and sensitive in the spirit to know what God is saying or going to say to you. Make use of every opportunity. Number point five, carry out his instructions in faith, and breakthrough will occur. He may ask you to do what seems impossible or foolish in your eyes. Just do it. Always remember he is God and you are not. He is wisdom and the source of it. Number six, pray fervently during dark night seasons. Number 7, have faith in God and patiently wait for Him. I'm going to teach on don't lose your faith in the night seasons. Number 8, meditate on the scriptures while you wait. Don't sit and meditate on how bad you hurt, which I do sometimes. Meditate on the scriptures. Meditate on the promises God has given you. Meditate on how much He loves you. You love me so much, God, you trust me, let me go through any fire that Satan brings my way. He does. He loves you that much. And he's that assured that you're not going to leave Him. And that's why He allows the enemy to have you, to sift you. Because he's so happy because the enemy's going to see at the end, when it's all over, that there's nothing he could do to you to cause you to leave Christ. So how hard are you being fought? How dark is your dark season? Okay, I said don't seek ungodly counsel. Do not tell everybody your problem or challenges. I'm bad about that. I sit right here and tell the world. Go to God directly. Go to your pastor or any trusted man or woman of God. Go to your Bible. Go to your trusted and tested counselor. Family member that is grounded in the Word of God. You know, don't go tell the world your problem. Don't go out there and sit and talk to drug addicts. They don't want to, you know, they want to hear how wonderful your God is. They don't want to hear you complaining about how He's allowing you to go through all these tests and trials. And one time when I was first born again, I was in a store out there at Pearson's Corner, and this pastor had just, you know, his just church ended, and he was there, and he was in there, woe is me to the store owner. I thought, why are you doing that? How are you going to win this man to Christ if you're standing there doing it? You just got out of church. Well, the man's church fell, but still and all, you know, he wasn't uplifting God at all. So we have to be very watchful of where we speak about what you're feeling. Quit complaining to everybody you come in contact with that God's let you down. And this is what this guy was saying. God hasn't followed through yet. Well, you know, yet wasn't the time yet. God was trying to do a thing, but if we're going to talk like that, He can't do it. All right, then I said, if you follow these instructions diligently with all your heart, you will break through your dark night season into daylight. I went through this 20 years ago. I'm going through it again today. Okay, let me say this. Okay, so 20 years ago, or 40, whatever it was when we started the church, I was in a new era. And so I had to be tested. God showed me this the other day. We're starting another new era. And it's different works. We have to be tested again to see if we're able to carry this works through. This is what the Job experience is all about, church, right now. God is testing us to the very core of our being. Are we truly strong enough to carry the weight of this new dispensation of time that we're in? And this new dispensation time is souls. It's not about big buildings. It's about souls. But when God's glory comes in all of its fullness, it's going to be great signs, wonders, and miracles. And I can't wait till we walk through a hospital and empty out hospitals like God told us years ago we would be doing. I can't wait for that. Well, I have to, but, you know, I'm so excited of what God's going to do. Because you know how many people are dying because we're not ready yet to walk through these hospitals and not say a word, just walk through the hospital and let the glory of God emanate from us and people be healed in their hospital beds. That's where we're headed. Are you really ready to do this? Or during your night, I know a lot of you are going through a night season right now. How are you faring in your night season? Is what God is asking you. I'm going to say this to you right now, Neil. God's been telling me that you're ready now to preach the gospel to the world, to the nations. He said, are you going to yield to the call? And if you answer yes to that, God's saying he's going to open, start opening the doors, and you're going to find yourself being invited to different places, and you have the truth embedded within your spirit, and you're going to bring the world the truth. Some people think you're a little weird. I do too at times. But you know, God's going to use that weirdness to win souls. Yeah, I really do love him. I've known him now how long. And when I look at those old videos and stuff, I call him cocky to myself. But he's so sure of himself. You know, we all should be that sure of ourselves, really. You know, and I look at him and I say, God, I need to have that assurance like he has and like his wife has. And see, I can look at them and get encouraged. Now, do people look at you and get encouraged? All right, so you're a little weird. Alan's a little weird. He's a whole lot weird. But, you know, God speaks to him. God did. He doesn't mind if I talk about him. You see, Mary, that people should look at you and say, boy, she's different. And I'm quite sure they do to themselves. They just don't say it out loud. And we're all different. We're all unique. We're weird, whatever you want to call us, because we are God's true warriors. We are the ones that God has prepared for this day and this time frame, and he's going to send us forth out into that world that's messed up. We're going to go to churches that are messed up. When I was evangelist, that's all all the churches invited me, but they were sorry they did afterwards. But still in all, they invited me and they heard the truth, and the truth didn't set them free. It made them wish they hadn't invited me. But still know that God gave them the opportunity to hear the truth. So when you go, you just have to be open and be an open vessel for God to work through and let him speak the truth. Are you ready to be shunned? Are you ready to be like Paul? Had to run for his life? Are you ready to go into strange places you've never been before? And just know that you're God's. And that they're just going to have to accept you whether they like it or not. Because God dwells with inside of you. And he wants to use you in your peculiar state. Well, I'm finished. But I'm going to continue with another session tonight about the dark soul. But this morning, I just want you to know that you know that you know. The only reason why you're sitting here or listening is because you are a chosen vessel of honor that God has been working with so he can use you to bring the lost and the dying into his kingdom. He wants you to have the strongest assurance of heart that the enemy will not be able to stop you no matter what God calls you to do. And today he wants you to be strong in him and knowing that he won't take you into a dark night unless he knows that you can come through it. He will not call a weak person into a dark night. You are testing, but he won't, because he knows it'll kill you. He only calls the strong. So, what's the word say? When I'm strong, I'm weak. You know with surety of heart this morning that you are God's vessel of honor that he wants to work through. And that when you walk through those doors, you don't go out that way. You're walking into God's kingdom out there. And his kingdom is going to use you to bring the lost to Christ. I don't have an altar call this morning. God just wants you to know that you are his. You are special and you're unique. That's the word in it, unique, yeah. God, I don't think you weren't here, but God told me, he said, daughter, do you understand what you're doing with these people, you know, the people here? I said, no. He said, you're trying to pick their brain. And what I want you to do is look at their uniqueness. Each one of them are unique. So everybody you come in contact with, you look at them and say, you're unique. You say that to yourself. You know, you think, what's wrong with you? You don't pick their brain. You say, you're unique. So everybody God places in your path, no matter how they act, they're unique and they are your assignment. Bring them to Christ. All right? God's getting ready to do something with you, Neil. Your face is different. Your whole countenance is different. Everything about you is different. God has been doing a mighty works within you, and you're ready. You and your wife are really ready to go and do the works that God is calling you for to do. You retired from your job, God saying at the time he wanted you to retire, and he's been working with you to get you to this place in his kingdom, and now he's ready for you. All right? And I'm picking up, you're not going to be in your home. You're not going to sell your house. You're not going to be in your home a lot because you're going to be out traveling a lot. So don't get comfortable in your little four-room house, bedroom, whatever you have. Just know that's just going to be your place to go to when God's not using you, when you have to rest. All right? The rest of you in here, God is saying that I have you, I've taken you out of the enemy's camp, and I have you in my camp. I have been working on you, and I have been bringing you forth. He was saying now the miry clay. You know, sometimes, you know, we are in the miry clay and we don't even know it. We don't know we're bound on with something. And God comes along and he starts working on us. And he pulls us out of that miry clay. And one thing that we need to learn, and we need to love one another. We need to cherish one another. And instead of picking on one another, we should be praying for one another. It has to begin in the house of God. Unity, love, has to begin in the house of God. It's not going to begin on the streets. The sinner doesn't know how to. So it has to begin with each one of you. Whether you are on the street, whether you're in work, but wherever you're at, it has to begin with you. I'm not in competition with you. Believe me, I'm not. I don't have to be. I know who I am. And one thing God told me, the reason why the body of Christ is so fragmented is because they don't know who they are. And they're always trying to compete with somebody else. Don't ever try to compete with anybody else. God only made one of you, Aaron, thank God. You know? We could stand to a kneel. You know? His wife said, thank God for that too. You know, then there's Mary Steele. You know, She's so unique. She's so different. From the day I met her, there's something so different about this young lady. And she goes through many dark nights. Many. But you know what God told me? He said, daughter, he said, those that are out there working for me, when they're really down, they'll come into the Lighthouse Church just to be encouraged and built back up again. Do you know what a responsibility that is? You know, once you're out there and you know, people know you, then they're going to come to you for encouragement. And you have to be ready to do that. You don't have any time to be down in the Molly Grubs. You really don't. We have to be full of the Holy Spirit 24/7. Instant, in season and out of season. You guys really don't understand the importance of your life with God. You really don't. You don't understand the fullness of what he's going to be doing through you. But you will. The first dark night you go through, you say, oh, because I'm going to teach you what goes along with the dark nights. You'll say, oh, Lord. But it's worth it all. What's that song we sang, Praise? I've got a reason to praise, you know. That song really hit me today. We all have a reason to praise. Just so you're breathing is a reason to praise. Now, I want each one of you to ask yourself, am I ready to go through the dark seasons and come out victorious? Am I ready to go through the refiner's fire as often as God wants me to go through it? Ask yourself that. And be honest with yourself. If you said yes, then get ready for God to start using you. I've gone through more than one dark night, I'm going to guarantee you. You know, just by the time you think, well, glad that one's over, here comes another one. Then here comes another one. And then here comes another one. But God's, like God told the devil about Job, he's not going to leave me. And God told me one time, he's a devil come and ask for you. To sift you as wheat. But I know you're not going to fail. And I'm telling each one of you in here this morning, I know you, and you're not going to fail during your sifting times. Even when you're out there ministering, you're going to be sifted, because the enemy's going to try to take you out at every turn. He cannot afford to let you do the things that God's calling you for to do. God said, as you sit in your seat, God is empowering you from on high with the ability to endure your testings. And God's saying, don't worry about your little shortcomings that you have. God said, during your testing times, I'm going to rip all that out of you. I am perfecting each one of you. And I will not leave you floundering in that sea. I won't let you there. I will always come, and I will always rescue you. Father, I just thank you right now, and I praise you. You knew exactly who you wanted to hear this morning, Father. And I thank you, Father God, for those that are listening and those that came in person. Right now, Father God, I can see you. I can see your liquid oil being golden, honey oil being poured out upon each person sitting in this room. I thank you, Father God, for that oil, that golden honey oil. I thank you, Father God, it is setting these people apart to do the great and mighty exploits that you've called them to do. I thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. You know, God told me a couple services ago that people don't need another prophetic word. They just need to soak in my glory. They just need to receive what I'm trying to give them. Because I've been told by some people, we never even listen to it ever again after the first time we hear it. So if that's the case, and you have not really grasped what God has been saying to you. Because if you go back and listen to your word, you say, oh, I didn't know he said that. I didn't know he said that. So just bask in what he's doing for you right now. Receive the fullness of himself right now. And God's saying, think this not a strange thing what I'm doing to you this morning. I look over the portals of heaven and I watch you continually. And when you are about to fall, I grab you up again. And I strengthen you and I set you on a solid place in me. Let God do that to you right now. Let him set you in a solid place in him. And we thank you for it. We thank you for it. We praise you. We thank you. We praise you, Father.